Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I'll remind you, join the mailing list. You can join the mailing list at CanadaReport.co. Sorry, I got to switch this over here. Aha, CanadaReport.co in the sidebar here. And don't forget to join our Kitchen Table Talk, which was disrupted heavily yesterday. If you want to help the show without actually buying anything, that would be cool. You can just click on this Amazon link, and anything you buy from Amazon CA, I get an affiliate credit for, so that would be cool. And you can also click on the same thing on CanadaPoly.com. You can buy my book if you're interested in that, and sign up here and there. You can watch the Kitchen Table Talk from Sunday on Rumble and Odyssey. They've been uploaded to both, but my upload has been crippled. I can't even stream. Like, I can't stream because the stream just drops all the frames. So I don't know if it's a problem with the laptop or a problem with my internet or what. The streaming problem seems to be following, like, on different laptops. So I don't think it's the laptop, but I could be wrong. Check out the forum. That doesn't have anything to do with the stream. You can read my book if you're interested in that. I've already plugged that one, though, so apologies. All right, let's get into the news. Ben Pyle says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Electric cars are a bridging technology to having no cars. Yeah, I think that they make like the reliability of cars. If you can refuel your car right now in 3 minutes, right, and go like 600 kilometers, or you know, even 5 minutes, right? You have to, you know, wait in line, and maybe the whole trip, the whole refueling trip, takes you 10 minutes, right? But you pull in, you get a sandwich, you go pee, you refuel the truck or your car, and then you're off, right? If you had a charging car, you would have to wait a lot longer. If the load was heavier, again, you go fewer kilometers because more energy is needed. It's a very interesting and insidious way of making people change their behavior and do it in a slow way so that you don't even notice it's happening. Oh, we have to do this. Do we? I'm not convinced. Not at all. All of the data. I mean, just look at the mask data that they're using to justify masking children. Children, right? It's garbage. It's garbage. And the global warming data is worse. So, anyway, regardless. National Post says, NP View, Justin Trudeau liberals pose a direct threat to free speech in Canada. This is an opinion piece, but it is, I think, probably an accurate opinion. Buried on page 65 of the Liberal platform is a promise to introduce legislation to combat serious forms of harmful online content. It may seem innocuous enough given its lack of prominence in the document and the fact that most Canadians likely agree that things like terrorist content? What's terrorist content? And child pornography are bad. What's terrorist content? But in reality, controlling how Canadians interact with each other online is one of the Liberal leader Justin Trudeau's top priorities, and it poses a direct threat to free speech in this country. Yeah, that's actually what my book's all about, talking about how YouTube is using terms of service to usurp free speech. And it's not just me. I do a bunch of different case studies. Check it out if you're interested. On November 3rd, 2020, in the midst of the pandemic second wave, instead of focusing on protecting Canadians, the government introduced Bill C-10, an act to amend the Broadcasting Act. Again, it sounded pretty innocuous. The bill was ostensibly designed to bring streamlined services such as Netflix under the purview of the CRTC. Do you mean they'd step in and do something about cuties? No. No, of course they wouldn't, right? They would give it an award, right? But anyway, regardless, it was a terrible idea on its own, but initially didn't seem like it would affect most people's lives because it specifically exempted user-generated content uploaded to social media sites from being subject to regulation. In fact, Heritage Minister Stephen Gelbeau was adamant that we are not particularly interested in what my great-uncle posts pictures of his cats. Yeah, but it's interesting how my streams keep getting attacked. It's interesting how my internet, when I'm specifically uploading to Rumble, Odyssey, and BitChute, which are the only places I can upload because YouTube has blocked me, gets disrupted, right? It's interesting, right? It's very interesting what they can do just with technology and, oh, I'm sorry about that, technical difficulties, sir. Yes, the government is telling us to give you technical difficulties, but technical difficulties persist nonetheless, right? The LPC leader campaigned in their riding of Oakville tonight. Incumbent is the minister in charge of vaccine procurement. If you have to campaign to support her with 8 days to go, that's not sending much of a message of confidence. Usually leaders shore up in areas, especially in this is the last stretch. This is the closing stretch of the campaign. The debates are behind us. The people are making up their mind. The information is in the ether and candidates are campaigning furiously, right? People are moving in and out, trying to change votes, trying to swing ridings, doing whatever they can, wherever they can. So having your main, your leader, Justin Trudeau, who's supposed to be very popular, but isn't, right, is being hounded by protesters, which he's trying to make into political hay. I don't know if he's failing. Has he convinced you? I mean, probably not. You're watching my show. But do the people that you know think that Justin Trudeau and the protesters, it's like bad eggs and you know, people who are not regular everyday Canadians fed up with Justin Trudeau's complete and utter incompetence? Right? Like, when I go to the grocery store, I feel like other people are sick and tired of this. I feel like other people are like, yeah, it's Justin Trudeau's fault. But I could be wrong. Maybe I'm projecting. I give people a big smile because I think they agree with me. Not really. Not really. But no, when the Liberal leader is being hounded by protesters everywhere, and you're not really afraid to make Justin Trudeau jokes in the grocery store, like unmasked Justin Trudeau grocery, like jokes in the grocery store. I was at Walmart yesterday, and we're going to talk about the mandatory vax thing in Walmart. Don't worry, I saw it. I think I tweeted it, but we're going to talk about it. I was in Walmart yesterday, and I saw two other families with unmasked parents and unmasked kids. And I was like, holy smokeronies. I was there with my kids. They were looking at Halloween costumes. So we walked down the aisle and they were excited. My son got a skeleton, but it was too small. So my wife was like, you know, we have to put a parka under that. I was like, oh yeah. So this skin tight skeleton was walking through the house yesterday. Regardless, it's not much of a confidence vote. Anyway, you don't see unmasked people out very often. So I'm seeing more in Guelph. I just wanted to mention that. Justin Trudeau has to campaign for people who should be in a safe seat if people are happy with the vaccine rollout. But no, a People's Party official is charged with assault in Justin Trudeau's stone throwing. Interesting, you get a name with this one, right? London police have charged a man with assault after gravel stones were thrown at Liberal leader Justin Trudeau during a campaign stop in the city. Sean Marshall, 25, of St. Thomas, is charged with one count of assault with a weapon in the Labor Day incident and is to appear in court on October 6th following London Free Press probe into the incident. Marshall was ousted as local leader for the People's Party of Canada. Or local organizer, excuse me, for the People's Party of Canada. And that's interesting, right? I don't know. Was it Sean and Tyler, the two guys, the one guy in the MAGA hat? I was talking to Greg and he said, they didn't do it. And so it's interesting that Sean was charged. I'm interested to see, get to the bottom of it. Is this a political stunt? Like, charge somebody with it, regardless of whether they did it, and like it drags the People's Party name through the mud. It puts that person kind of off balance. And you know, who cares who actually did it, right? Like, we'll make these political lemons into lemonade, right? Justin Trudeau, a master at that. Anybody talking not about the number of protesters who are hounding Trudeau and at like, oh yeah, those anti-vax protesters, you know they're bad actors. You know they're people who are either drunk in the, like they've drunk the Kool-Aid, they're useful idiots, or they're not thinking critically, or they're paid agitators, right? Like Brett Wilson. Brett Wilson's a good example. He's monetized his Twitter feed, right? He's pro-vax to the nth degree. He has a seatbelt comparison on his Twitter this morning. And he must revel in just like stirring the pot with stupidity, right? And it's very interesting, like, but he's getting paid for that, guaranteed. And again, he looks at the responses. He doesn't care. It's just money symbols to him. He doesn't, right? He doesn't care. He's like, oh, a whole bunch of people saw this. I get more money. Yay. Anyway, Chickengate says, well, this is an update to yesterday's story. Yesterday, I showed a very emotional woman talking about how the People's Party has no representative on the ballot. And so because of they don't have any representative on the ballot, they have to go to a specific place, 314 Harwood, to the election office, blah, blah, blah. But there are, I think, 307 out of 338 places across Canada that the People's Party is on the ballot. This isn't because of election fraud. This is just because of there's no person on the ballot that qualified and got their paperwork in on time. Okay, and sometimes there's like the Bijal Bawa. I'm surprised by, because he had a team and he was on the ballot last time. So that one worries me more. And she was talking about Bawa yesterday, I believe. So that one worries me. Because I'm not sure what's happening there, but this one is talking about a place in Ajax that doesn't have a candidate. So, I mean, like, that's not great, right? You don't like that. I don't like that, but it is what it is. But it's not because of anything other than lack of a candidate in the region, as far as I understand it. So That's what this stuff's about, okay? And this is the tweet. It says, Ajax folks, because we have no PPC representative in Ajax, you have to go to 314 Harwood, floor 2, to the election office and vote there. Ask them for a special ballot or tell them you're voting PPC. It's unfortunate we shouldn't have to disclose who we're voting for, yet that's what I had to do today. I originally went to the community center to vote. The only representatives on the ballots were for Conservative, Liberal, NDP, and Green Party. I was told that I had to go into 314 Harwood to vote PPC. So just in case you're in Ajax, do that. But understand, maybe it's helpful to understand why there's no PPC candidate. Delayed start. Andrew Lawton's out west with Maxime Bernier's tour. And he's getting good turnout, man. Look at this. I showed a picture. Sorry, that was loud. I apologize. And again. Sorry about that. The video started doing the skipping thing, so apologies. Anyway, lots of people. You can see Bernier just showing up in the video here. He's right at the front, and then everybody stands up and gives him a standing ovation. Andrew Lawton says, delayed start as people move from the original venue to the new rainproof one, but Bernier has arrived, and he walks in and waves. Bernier is asked for his thoughts on allowing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine as treatments for COVID-19. He said he's not a doctor, but supports funding research into alternate pharmacological and natural treatments for COVID. That's interesting, right? That's interesting. Here is Pierre Poilievre. That's interesting in that that's a big departure. They're limiting access to ivermectin.
Competition in wireless.
And ivermectin, I was trying to pause it. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So with Health Canada acting like that, a new prime minister would change that direction, and that would be very interesting. But only if it's Bernier, right? So here's Pierre Poilievre, and he says, making big telecoms like Bell and Rogers compete for your business by opening up free market competition. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful, right? Don't you think that'd be great? Is that going to happen? I don't know. Fighting for you, Pierre Poilievre. Somebody pointed out on the kitchen table talk that Mr. Poilievre doesn't have any conservative branding still. Yeah, yeah, consistent right through the election here. What's going on? Very interesting. No conservative branding. Weird. And I mean, like, is it that weird? Are the conservatives that popular? Here's Mr. O'Toole on mandating vaccines. And he says no, but he says the communication hasn't been very good. You have to wonder. And like, I just shared today a clip that said, like, if masks work, why 6 feet? If 6 feet works, why masks? If both work, why a rushed vaccine? If the vaccine works, why do people have to still wear masks and still like go through all of this pantomime? But if the vaccine works, aren't people protected? How, if the vaccine works, how are the cases skyrocketing? There's so many questions that don't have any kind of answers. And why are we pushing for a 90%? Why do we think that the leadership pushing for a 90% plus vaccination rate is reasonable? That's not reasonable. That's not a reasonable goal for a public health initiative. I'm sorry. There are people who can't. There are people who won't. And O'Toole talks about the public health's credibility. Public health has zero credibility. Zero. They haven't been right about anything. They've been 100% wrong with every single intervention. Look at where we were last year with 0% vaccinated. Look at how many deaths, hospitalizations, and cases we've got this year with 80% or 75% or whatever you want to say. What kind of plausible explanation other than total failure is there for that? I can't fathom one, okay? Here's O'Toole on this saying, oh yeah, well, we're going to get 90% vaccinated, as if that's a reasonable goal. It's not a reasonable goal. Here we go. Maybe here we go. There we go.
You've said that you don't want to make it mandatory for people to have to be vaccinated to fly or get on a train, but you've also said that you want there to be a 90% vaccination rate in Canada. Do you think that that's dissonant to be telling people 90% should be vaccinated, but you're not going to require it for things like travel?
No, in fact, I think we haven't been doing a good enough job of telling people how they're safe and effective for use. That's why I was proud to be with the other leaders yesterday to talk about promoting vaccinations. We need to answer questions, inform, bring people together, not create an us versus them at a time we need to be together fighting COVID. So what we need to do is promote vaccines, answer questions that people have, but also use daily rapid testing, use masking, use all the measures that we're used to fight COVID.
But if you don't have to get vaccinated because you're going to be able to do rapid testing, how do you get it to 90%? That's a very high number, and you're not even requiring that of your candidates.
There are some Canadians that have had bad experiences with the public health system that have questions that you have to build trust. You're not going to build that trust, Mercedes, by pushing people away, by attacking. In fact, the position I'm taking, which is promoting vaccines, using all tools, but respecting the decisions people will make, is the exact position of the civil service that Mr. Trudeau had to cover up when he tried to use this issue to divide people in an election he called in a pandemic. So what is Leaf?
What he's saying is the current Liberal plan has within the civil service, meaning anybody who works for the federal government, has these vaccine exemptions, and you can use rapid testing if you want to be exempt from the vaccine. And he said, you know, that's the same plan, basically. What's the difference? He's saying Trudeau's trying to use this as a wedge, but essentially he's got the same plan. But I don't know that that's true, because there are places that are firing people for this. There are places that are following through with removing employment for people who refuse to be vaccinated, right? It's a very interesting thing to live through. It's a very interesting thing to watch, right? Watching a mandatory vaccine edict from the government decimate employment, right? Like, there are a lot of people who can't afford to lose their job, so they will comply. They have to comply because there's no other option, right? Like, they are being told that they will be removed from their job. You have until this date to comply, and if you don't, that's that, right? And they'll follow through, and they will not be, you could sue them, but it could be 3, 5, 10 years before you get anything back. Is that helpful, right? Here is the fake this person, Saskatchewan Citizens Against Mandatory Vaccines, says, I was just sent this from a friend. It was made, and I think it's fake. The reason I think it's fake is because Walmart Canada is the name of the corporation, not Walmart of Canada. So that's probably the biggest giveaway of the whole thing. But it's been circulating. I circulated it. I thought, wow, that, I hope not. Somebody pointed that out to me, right? So I saw it and I was like, yeah, that doesn't look great. And somebody was like, yeah, but they're Walmart Canada, not Walmart of Canada. I was like, oh, that's a good point. Still, it is concerning. I've seen, and other people have seen, I'll show you a couple of things. A few weeks ago, months ago, I was scrolling through and I saw Walmart, somebody in Corner Brook or Newfoundland had taken a picture and put it up on Twitter and said, like, what are they building here? Do they know something that we don't know? And I tagged it and I can't for the life of me find it. Now, I found a bunch of dead links that, so like, if I tag something, I think what, I just name it, whatever comes to my head. Often that works for trying to find it. Like, what would I name that if I were putting that, if I was tagging that today, what would I name that? And then I search that term. And often it works, right? And in this one, it turned up a bunch of dead links. And I was like, oh man. So that plus this, I was like, yeah, there's something to that, but I couldn't find that post. So that was frustrating. I was like, ah, oh, where is it? I'm sure it was Newfoundland. But I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was Corner Brook. I thought it was tagged like in Corner Brook or something like that, but everything that I was searching, it didn't work out. Anyway, this says Walmart, proof of vaccination required, effective November 1st, 2021. Shoppers will need to provide proof of vaccination and government-issued ID in order to enter any Walmart in Canada. We will still be happy to offer curbside pickup to those unvaccinated. Thank you, Walmart of Canada. So there's that. And here is Walmart in Canada. So somebody, because that was circulating, and not likely because I tweeted it, but because it was circulating, somebody contacted the Walmart chat bot. And here is that conversation. It's taking a long time to load. Hold on. And so this is probably a real person. Chat with Walmart. It says, hello, my name is Shakti. Probably. Sorry if I've got your name wrong. I will be assisting you today. Hello, Natasha. And she says, hi, is it true that customers will have to be double vaccinated to enter Walmart? It's not mandatory, says Shakti, that you have, I'll just say Walmart, that you have to be double vaccinated to enter the store. Only once vaccination is also enough. So in order to enter Walmart, I will have to show proof of at least one vaccination. That's correct. I appreciate your understanding. As of what date will I have to be vaccinated to enter Walmart? And he says, oh my goodness. Let's skip down. He says, there's no dedicated date limit for vaccination. You can visit the store even if you're vaccinated in 2020 to 2021. And she says, I don't think you understand my question. When will Walmart Canada begin to enforce and check vaccination status of their customers? And he says, Walmart says, I completely understand your question. However, this can be answered by the local Walmart store, as we do not have information on which date Walmart Canada begin to check vaccination status at store. And she says, can you confirm? This is terrible. Can you confirm that at some point in the future, Walmart will be requesting private medical information of their customers and turning away customers who have not been vaccinated for COVID? I really don't want to make false comment with you, Natasha, says Walmart. As of now, there's no such notice or information has been issued to us to communicate with our customers. However, in future, whenever you'd like to visit the store, it'd be helpful to call the store before visiting to know the real-time in-store shopping guidelines. So the rumors that it will be enforced are false. That's true. Is there anyone I can speak to that would have this information? And he says, if you'd like to talk to our supervisor, and then they give you a number. As previously, you had said that I will have to show proof of at least one vaccination to enter the store, so I'm confused as to why your answer changed. I've not changed my answer. I'd like to inform you that for each Walmart store, they have individual guidelines in terms of COVID vaccination. That's the reason, as I informed you, to call the store to get the real-time policy for in-store shopping. So, kind of evasive, right? I don't know if that's a language barrier thing. Like, I don't know if that was not evasive, but it was meant to be like a robust answer and just like failed at that, or if it was meant to be evasive and confusing on purpose to be evasive and confusing, because November is 6 weeks away, and in November, well, that's the Christmas season. Can you imagine like vax please for non-essential stores or for essential stores, for everything? Like, you can shop online if you're not vaccinated, period. That's it. No exceptions. And the alternative they're offering you, Bonnie Henry, yesterday I showed you, the alternative they're offering is you can shop online and do what we've been doing for the last 18 months. You can be locked in your home, or you can get vaccinated and join the society. That's where we're going. That's what it looks like. And do you think that they're going to let you outside of your house? Do you think that they're going to let you, you know, into the community and stuff if you're not vaccinated? If we're going to play this game, they're going to play this game. Do you understand? Okay. You know, it's frustrating, though. It's frustrating. It is. It is really frustrating, looking at all this and kind of piecing it together. 6 months ago, I was saying vaccine passports are where they're going with this. We have to come up with something to counter this as soon as possible. And people were like, no, it's never going to happen here. It'll collapse. Yeah, it's not collapsing, guys. It's not collapsing. I'm sorry, it's not. I wish it was. It's not. Now, analysis of medical data suggests that boys aged 12 to 15 with no underlying medical conditions are 4 to 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with vaccine-related myocarditis than ending up in hospital with COVID over a 4-month period. So if you get the vax, you're much more likely to be hospitalized with myocarditis than you would ever be to be hospitalized with COVID. Is this a reasonable thing to do? This is in the newspapers. mRNA vaccine, heart injuries in kids versus COVID ICU admissions in Ontario. 31 vaccine, heart injuries in 3 months, age 12 to 17. That's 3 months, okay? The entire 16 months of COVID, there were 39 ICU visits for ages 12 to 17. Data in the thread. So that's not good. Why are we continuing to do this? Aren't we supposed to not be doing any harm? Why isn't anybody asking any questions? You have to wonder. You have to wonder. I wonder, right? Share. This is a statement by WestJet. Now, I haven't independently confirmed this. So I'm putting this out there to the pilots who I know are watching. Thank you guys for keeping me on the straight and narrow and letting me know what's actually going on out there. I have friends who are pilots, and I have people who email me, like people who watch the show and say thank you. And sometimes I make statements and there's speculation. And I try and make it clear to you when I'm speculating, okay? So I hope that you understand that. And they'll tell me, like, this is more right, or this is how better to see this, or to whatever. So I appreciate all the info. I appreciate legitimate info, right? So let me know if this is true or false. For WestJetters to be considered fully vaccinated within the acceptable time frame, one must have received their second dose no later than October 16th. 2021. This allows for the required 2 weeks following a second dose to be considered fully vaccinated. It is anticipated that booster shots will also be required in the future to maintain fully vaccinated status. So is WestJet being this obvious, right? If WestJet knows, does Walmart know, right? Okay, this guy articulates, look at the eyes. He's got emotive eyes. He's very, right? Sometimes I feel like this. Understand. Okay. So I'll play this until it stops making sense to play this. Here we go.
It's incredible to me that people struggle to understand why someone would decline the vaccine and the passport system, because anyone with a brain knows that there will be the same unending hysteria coming from public health experts about new variants forever. Now, current studies coming out of Israel show that the Pfizer vaccine wanes within 3 to 5 months. So we're all in this together, communism, and also you'll need the latest booster or you can't take transit to work. So you're not just asking me to take a vaccine. You're asking me to receive vaccines as a lifestyle choice. You're asking me to accept an unending streak of vaccines, not only for the rest of my life, but as a condition of my freedom. Do you understand how dumb you are if you think anyone's opposition to this maniacal proposition is in any way inappropriate? No, I don't want infinite boosters forever as a condition of my own freedom. What the hell? Why is anyone advocating for this? Vaccines. An unending stream of vaccines for me and my children and all children who will be born into this dystopia? You want a world where pharmaceutical companies are tasked with perpetually producing the one and only substance that can lend us temporary, conditional freedom? Use a small, tiny burst of free thought, just a little bit. Why are there people saying no to forever vaccines as a condition of life on Earth? Why do we exist? Is it hard to understand why this level of submission is unacceptable? Please! All of you attempting to shame your fellow humans for standing against an obvious attempt to redesign our society into a tyrant's wet dream are failing to think clearly. No, we do not want infinite vaccines forever. Okay? Yeah, thanks.
There was a lot of, like, there was a little bit of Wesley from The Princess Bride, and there was a few different, I recognized different callbacks to things there. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting statement on things. It's very clear there are a lot of people pushing back against this. It's very clear that if you take a second to think about this, you will come to the realization that it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yet here we continue to go, right? Let's carry forward, everyone. Who cares about the efficacy? Everybody's got to get jabbed. 200%, right? And if you don't have 200%, well, you can't take part in society, you dirty unvaxxer. Okay, I want you to pay attention to what Jason Kenney's wearing here. It's quite stylish. The roll of the cuff, the sunglasses, the open shirt, the Elvis hair. No, I didn't see any Elvis hair. Not yet, anyway. But this video is taken close up, and you don't actually see Jason Kenney's face. I'm pretty confident that it is Jason Kenney. Here he is talking about how Alberta is open for good. We're open for good, and the vaccine's super effective, and deaths are down. Cases are up, but deaths are down, and things are fine, says Jason Kenney about the United Kingdom. And I think this is a couple of weeks ago, maybe midsummer. But I don't have a specific date for this, but somebody, a sleuth, could find out, I'm sure. This is a, I don't know if it's a midsummer event or it's probably sometime in August. But here we go. Pay attention. I hope you can hear it properly. Here we go.
Very good, very good. Are we going to get a picture?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I thought maybe sometimes that's where you had the phone.
No.
But nice to meet you.
Yeah. I had just one quick question.
Yes, yes.
Like, in terms of, like, the lockdowns have been a little bit crazy for me. Just because I'm here on my own.
Sorry.
But I just want to ask you if, like, because of the message that we have right now, it's open for summer, so I'm worried.
It's open for good. Open for good.
Are you sure that?
Open for good.
I don't want to go back to this.
I swear to God.
You're not going to lock us down again.
No. With the vaccines, we don't have to.
But I mean, they're still not fully percent, like 100%.
Nothing's 100%, but they're effective enough to keep people out of hospital. Right now, Britain is seeing a huge increase in cases, but stable hospital numbers. That's the sweet spot.
Okay.
So cases will go up and down,
exactly.
But hospitalizations will stay flat. Because we've inoculated the most vulnerable, we're going to be at over 80% vaccination in Alberta. That's what these people are protesting. They don't want the vaccines. And that keeps us open for good.
But what about the other 20% that are not
vaccinated? They're younger. Most of them are under 12, and the flu is a greater threat to them than COVID.
Right.
And the largest cohort is in their 20s, and they're very healthy. In Alberta, we've had only two deaths under the age of 30 zero under the age of 20.
Right.
So COVID is not a threat to people under 30 effectively.
Right.
So the fact that 20% of them are not vaccinated, don't worry about it.
Okay, but they, in Australia, I believe they are putting back.
But they only have down, they only right? have 15% of the population with the yeah. first dose. Here we have 80% almost. Yeah. But in Alberta, 75% with the first dose.
Okay, so
Australia was very late on vaccine acquisition.
Yeah. Politicians always inflate it, right? 76%, 80%. Bam. Just, I mean, it's 80%. It's 80%. For all intents and purposes, 80%, right? So 20% of the population unvaccinated, except it's 76%. Unbelievable, people, eh? And they do it. And people just are like, yeah, it's close enough. You know, I understand what you mean, how 75% becomes 80%. Weird. This is funny. One reason, says Dee Prairie, she didn't read the article, that Saskatchewan is now the best province in Canada in which to live. Canada COVID passport. It's not the government's role to line people up and say you're going to take this needle and if you're going to live in this society, Mo said. No, that's business's responsibility. He's passed it off to businesses, you see, right? Just like Doug Ford did. How's that working out in Ontario? Mo says no to vaccine mandates, passports, but expects businesses, organizations will enact policies and they'll gladly support them with lots of money and infrastructure. Without the money and infrastructure, the passport falls apart. Can you imagine if Canadian Tire was like, we're introducing a vaccine passport, and somebody was like, oh yeah, how does it work? And they say, you download the Canadian Tire vaccine passport app. And that passport app lets you into Canadian Tire after you prove your vaccine status. It would never ever work. Businesses couldn't do this without the support of government. You see, hand in glove, just like YouTube. Just like YouTube got a call from the government one day, and the government said, listen, we can't limit free speech, but we can tell you what to do. And so what you're going to do is you're going to work with our engineers and our developers, and you're going to create a portal that we can log into and a way we can shadow ban users so they don't know they're being shadow banned, but so that their views are throttled way down, et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you, this happens to other Canadians for movie distribution. This happened to Dr. Shiva, an American doctor. This has happened and has been litigated. I'm not saying maybe. I'm saying they do this. They engage in the removal of our freedom of speech, the removal of a basic right. The government's job is to protect those rights, and they are engaging in the removal of those rights by nefarious means. It's evil what they're doing. It's evil. Okay. Here is how they're getting around it in Saskatchewan, okay? Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe says his government will not be requiring proof of vaccine to visit businesses or partake in activities and will not make individuals take the vaccine. This week, Manitoba announced government employees who work with vulnerable populations need to be fully immunized for COVID-19 by October 31st or undergo regular testing. That's Manitoba, not Saskatchewan. Moe sat down for an interview with Ralco Radio on Thursday morning. He said Saskatchewan also has plans to implement a vaccine passport system similar to BC, Manitoba, and Quebec. He said he expects that Saskatchewan-based businesses and organizations that choose to implement the vaccine requirement policies will do so in the days and weeks ahead. It's not the government's role to line people up and say you're going to take this needle if you're going to live in the society, Mo said. The premier said vaccine mandates are often include proof of negative test in place of vaccination. Saskatoon Mayor Charlie Clark expressed support for vaccine passports and vaccination requirements. The University of Saskatchewan, University of Regina, and Saskatchewan Polytechnic have all recently introduced vaccine passports. On Thursday, two private companies that operate several nursing and retirement homes in Saskatchewan say they will require their employees across Canada to get fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Most of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders can implement a vaccine policy if they choose, and his government would support them by assisting with proof of vaccine through the Ministry of Health. Great. Great, right? But it's not our job. We'll just enable the small businesses or the larger businesses to force the smaller businesses to do it. Why would any government set up a new ID card system for 8 million people at Service New South Wales and put small business through the huge compliance cost for just 3 weeks? It's simply incredible to think that this is the New South Wales plan, right? Unvaccinated Australians will only be locked out of the pub for 3 weeks. It's just 3 weeks to flatten the curve, guys, and then we're going to go back to normal, right? Just like before when there was vaccine passports, right? Stunning revelation, unvaccinated Australians will only be locked out of pubs, restaurants, and hairdressers for 3 weeks as bombshell details from national COVID-19 roadmap emerge. This is the plan. They want to use your vaccine status because the masks kind of worked, but the vaccine status That'll completely remove anybody who's non-compliant from those stores. Done. Right? Why? Because they'll have to prove their vax status in order to get access, right? And that'll be true of everything, right? And like, is this tolerable? We're sitting here while this is implemented. Communism, guys. Communism, that's what's happening, okay? I'm sorry. I can we stop it? Haha. Here is Australia. This is on the 5th of September, and he's talking about excluding unvaccinated people from healthcare. What could possibly be more essential than healthcare? Air, food, and water, okay? But he's saying, and like if you're dying, I guess a hospital is essential. He's saying, those unvaccinated, sorry, man, sorry. Here we go.
From a situation where to protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down, we're going to move to a situation where to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated and we open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments.
Because if you don't, we're going to remove healthcare from you. And you won't be allowed to roam around and spread that disease, right? Here is Tim Hortons. I don't know if this is true or not. Strathroy. Anybody can confirm or deny. I don't know. I'm not sure. Quick story for everyone this morning. I hope you're sitting down when you read this. My youngest son works at PV Mart, TSC, here in Strathroy, Ontario, and goes over to the Tim Hortons across the road for lunch every day and has been for years now. On Sunday, September 5th, after ordering his lunch and sitting down by himself, an employee for Tim Hortons came over to him with a clipboard and asked him if he had received his double needles and does he have proof with him. He knows all these employees and is friends with the majority of them. He said, "You know I haven't taken the needles yet." The employee then told him he had to take his lunch and leave the premises and not to come back until he takes his needles and can provide proof of it. He said, "Wait a minute, you knew full well I haven't taken the needles, but you took my $20 first and then came over with your clipboard?" The employee, visibly shaken, told him that he had to get up and leave. He was then escorted to the door. This isn't happening in China or Afghanistan or Iran or Syria. This is happening in Strathroy, Ontario. This goes beyond politics and is disgraceful. So I don't know. Is it happening? Is that going on? Have you seen that happen? Here is ER doctor. He's echoing Rob Hunter's data. He says, "What pandemic?" Let's wrap this up. Ford Nation, Doug Ford. Week over week, the blue is 2021. The yellow is 2020. Growth percent by year, and we're down, I guess, in September. We had a huge July, August bump, but nothing now. That's weird, right? And then presumably at the end of October, it'll be like, oh no, cancel Thanksgiving, right? Cancel Thanksgiving because there's a specific group of old stock Canadians who like to eat turkey, right? And that's dangerous. You can't have that, right? The only way to travel until airlines realize they need their customers more than government mandates. Apparently you can email, contact us at flyleamington.com and you can fly to the United States. Up to 8 passengers, and you get a Shoppers Drug Mart test, results in 15 minutes with a $40 rapid test to get in. I don't know, just an option, just in case you're wondering, what do we do now? Hospitals and hospital protests. Doug Ford yesterday put out a tweet and it said, "The protests we're seeing outside of hospitals are selfish, cowardly, and reckless. Our healthcare workers have sacrificed so much to keep us all safe during this pandemic. They don't deserve this kind of treatment. Not now, not ever. Leave our healthcare workers alone." Patrick Phillips, a doctor, says, "Doug, these are healthcare workers protesting and hospitals firing them for not submitting to forced experimental mRNA gene therapy shots. They're protesting to support healthcare workers and the rights of all Ontarians. Nice try." I mean, it's not a nice try. He's trying to lie, right? But they all are. Here's Ezra Levent calling Doug Ford out. Same tweet from Doug. Ezra says, "You weird liar." He's a weird guy too. Like, Ezra's kind of weird. I'm weird though, so it's cool. Many of those protesting outside hospitals are healthcare workers themselves, who you have threatened to fire if they don't get a forced vaccination, even though many of them have natural immunity. Yowza, right? Yowza. Jim Watson, the mayor of Ottawa, won't put up with protests that interfere with healthcare workers. This is a coordinated reframing of, oh no, the healthcare workers are revolting. How do we demonize the anti-vaxxers through this? It's reimagining what's happening for the narrative, and they're feeding that narrative to the public. And is the public accepting it? Kind of, I guess. Enough that they're running with these stories, right? Watson won't put up with protests that interfere with the healthcare workers. The protests have been organized by a group calling itself Canadian Frontline Nurses. That group calling itself nurses, right? Which states on its website, quote, "This will be a silent vigil to honor those affected by measures put in place over the last year and a half. Our cries and concerns have been ignored for far too long." The other day, there was first responders in Hamilton who all stood silently holding signs saying forced vaccine mandates are never okay and blah, 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 blah. So like Doug Ford, Watson, I'm going to show you a few other people. They're trying to demonize these people. These people aren't trying to disrupt anything. They're trying to get their message out saying what's happening is wrong and I'm going to quit. And if I quit, your healthcare system is going to be way worse than it was or otherwise would be, right? Back to the article. Quote, I'm been made aware of a nationwide protest around hospitals planned for tomorrow. That's today. Watson said on Twitter, as Canadians, we have a right to express our beliefs. However, when these protests get in the way of critical work of our healthcare professionals during a pandemic, I won't have it. Why are we letting these politicians lie? Why are we letting these politicians mandate vaccines for our healthcare workers who are heroes and who are caught in the middle? They should be allowed to choose. I'm not saying one way or another if they should have it or not. I have strong beliefs one way, but my beliefs don't mean other people should believe what I believe. I have reasons and can articulate why I believe what I believe, but my beliefs are mine and I'll put them in place for my body. These nurses and doctors should be able to make a choice for their body. And I can't believe that these politicians are trying to make political hay by demonizing these people, right? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the fact that if you call them out on it, they'll start saying that your stance on whatever is, well, they'll use it to question your ability to what? Live in our society. Let's just say that. Back to this. In a separate tweet, Watson said, those who intend to protest in Ottawa tomorrow, all I ask is that you respect essential healthcare services coming in and out of our hospitals. My office is engaged with the Ottawa police and they have advised that they'll be ready to respond as required. It ends with a threat. Like, that's a threat. Make no mistake, that's a threat. What's even more shocking? Okay, here's Mary Fernando, an MD with no blue check. And she says, it always shocks me what anti-vaxxers will say and do to protect their dangerous ideas. This racist is reported and blocked. Wish they could be reported and blocked in front of the hospitals where they're harassing patients and healthcare workers. Vero says, what's even more shocking is the medical censorship and lack of freedom of speech. Rather than engage in a discussion, the doctors blocked me when I challenged her by asking why natural immunity is not recognized by the medical community. Silencing, censoring, deny, delay, divide. Deny, delay, divide, that's close. Here's Dr. Fissman. No, is this Warner? Dr. Warner. Dr. Warner Fissman. And this is a hostage video. Amazing Polly calls these hostage videos. We'll watch like 30 seconds of this. You see what I mean? He's almost dead in the eye. Like, it's like watching Ted Bundy talk about his kills or something like that. I really enjoyed reading about serial killers when I was like 12 years old. And back then, nobody had cell phones. So when you went to the bathroom, there was a stack of books. And the top one was the Reader's Digest. But the one right underneath that was the serial killer book. Anyway, so when I got old enough, I watched some, when YouTube became a thing and they were accessible, I watched things with the real people and I was like, wow, these people are really, really, really scary. Like, just dead. Like, totally, like, you know, if my hand went in front of his face, right? Dead. Anyway, here we go.
About the anti-vaccination protests that are planned across the country for Monday. People are entitled to protest and to make their voices heard. At the same time, hospitals are not the place to do it. Hospitals are sacred places of healing. It's where people go for safety, for protection, for treatment, for love, for peace, and sometimes for death.
But not if they're unvaccinated.
They're not.
Right, Dr. Warner? Unbelievable, right? What a piece of work that guy is. What a piece of work. Here is a nurse. This one, she's wearing a Canadian. This is definitely a Canadian nurse. She's wearing a Vaccine Choice Canada badge. And she may be one of the nurses who went to the States to to protest and discuss. Well, I've got another nurse that tells their story, but listen to this one first. Here we go.
There's no way, no how you can fire me. I will chop my arm off before I get this thing. And that is my absolute right, just like it's your right to get it. It's my right not to get it. So for me, I'm just waiting it out. I think that with the healthcare shortages,
so she's speculating on healthcare shortages, but the main clip is talking about how she would rather cut her arm off than submit to a forced jab. And I understand. I can understand that. I can understand that reasoning, right? I don't know about cutting my own arm off. I watched Romeo and Juliet way back when I was in grade 9, and I thought, man, like stabbing yourself in the heart, like that's really, like, that's a lot, right? You've got to really be committed. I was like, I don't know. I don't know, Juliet. That's a little bit much. Anyway, here is a nurse, and she's telling the story of when her and another nurse friend went down to Washington, D.C., came back to speak about the vaccine status. And when she came back, the College of Nurses changed their guidelines around speech online, like what nurses can engage in online speech. And that's why the nurses aren't speaking out. So I'll just let this play for probably a minute. It's well worth the whole talk. It's interesting when people give speeches, people who talk a lot or people who can weave stories do better. If you wrap your speech in a story, much better, much better. So the beginning of this is a little rocky, like as far as engagement goes, but she's telling her story to get to the point of why the Ontario College of Nurses changed their guidelines around speech. Okay, here we go.
So you can imagine how that was received amongst...
Sorry, I listened to it fast. Yes, that's the speed of my brain. If I can listen to it faster, it's just easier to do it at 2. But if I can listen to it faster, I do listen to it faster sometimes. Here we go.
The public. I was suspended from work indefinitely, put under investigation by the college. And I thought, you know, well, I crumbled for a little bit, picked myself up, made myself stronger and louder, found another nurse that was speaking out in Toronto, Sarah Shajunian. Her and I went and joined 4 other nurses in the States and spoke in Washington, D.C. on a health and freedom stage with people like Del Bigtree, Kevin Jenkins, Mickey Willis. And maybe some of you even know the nurses, Nicole Sirotek, Nurse Aaron, who did the expose on the Epicenter in New York. And so we spoke about what we were seeing and our concerns with lockdowns and COVID and what was happening and, you know, trying to blow the whistle. Upon mine and Sarah's return back to Canada, I'm sure many of you saw those articles, we were labeled domestic terrorists. The RCMP came to our house and we were both terminated immediately. So, for again, trying to just speak truth against the narrative. So the College of Nurses in last December came out with a standard that said nurses are not allowed to speak about masks, social distancing, anti-vaccination, or anything that goes against public health measures, or they will be reprimanded and their license may be threatened. And so many people ask, well, why aren't there more nurses? Why aren't there more doctors? Why aren't there more people speaking out? Is because of that. They have silenced the healthcare workers from speaking up. And
so there you go. That's part of the reason why we're not seeing the mass speaking out, although we are seeing enough mass speaking out that we've got a pressure campaign to shame doctors and nurses and anybody who wants to protest in front of a hospital. And they're saying, oh, you know, these dangerous ideas and blah, 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 blah. Here is another person. This guy's an author and stuff. I just think hearing other people say, like, no, man, this stuff's crazy is worthwhile. It's worthwhile. There's something to this. The clouds keep going in and out, which is why my background keeps fuzzing. Like the light conditions are changing second by the second. And like, if I change things on here, anyway, apologies. Here we go.
Don't you think it's weird? Doesn't it bother you that nurses who worked all the way through COVID, literally front lines, dealt with patients, probably caught COVID at some point, are now being fired because they're not getting the vaccine? They've made an informed dissent. They're probably one of the most informed people about COVID and the vaccines that we know. I mean, they deal with it all the time. They're going into hospitals all the time. They're dealing with doctors all the time. And they've made an informed decision, speaking with their doctor on their own, to not get the vaccine. And they've worked from day one all the way through all of this. And they're getting fired because they've made an informed decision to not get it? Doesn't that bother you? Shouldn't that bother you? Doesn't it seem like it's more than just a health issue at this point? Don't we need these frontline nurses who have put their lives on the line without the vaccine for this long? That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, right?
Don't you think it's weird? Doesn't it bother you that nurses who worked all the way through COVID, literally front...
That's good. Okay, sorry. Sometimes Twitter videos, man. Sorry. Apologies. Crazy, right? Crazy. I don't know. And what do you make of it? So here's another one. This guy's talking about, well, all of it's good. He starts talking about the ethics professor who was fired for questioning this stuff. Anybody who questions this stuff, look at what happened to me, right? I read headline news, but I'm not edited by anyone. This is as unfiltered as you can get. This is just hot take reactions to the headline news that happened yesterday. And they were like, no, we can't have any of this, right? I'm not medical information. I'm not trying to influence you, your medical information. I think that you should make up your own mind based on your own research, do it all. But I think that you have a right to be informed, and you have a right to question what's going on. I question it all the time. And there's nothing wrong with me as far as I know, right? As far as I know. But having lots of other intelligent people question these things, having lots of other intelligent people say, you know what's weird? Isn't that strange when you play this out? No government would do this for temporary measures. We have to stop this. We have to stop it. There's no other way. We have to stop this. Here's another doctor. Here we go.
Is there an ethical doctor in the house? As a recently retired doctor looking from the outside in, I'm deeply troubled by doctors' response to government medical policies over the past 18 months. In an ironic twist, Western University ethics professor Dr. Julie Panessi was dismissed on paid leave after raising ethical concerns about the university's breach of medical privacy and informed consent in mandating experimental COVID vaccine. The College of Physicians and Surgeons guidelines support the professor's ethical position in that a physician must obtain a valid consent. Patients have a legal right to refuse consent to treatment. The consent decision must be voluntary and not under duress or coercion. In a perplexing breach of their own policy, the college has now endorsed forced vaccinations in all but near-death experiences. While lauded as our safe and effective savior from COVID-19, data reveals troubling rates of myocarditis, clotting, and unprecedented vaccine deaths. And vaccine effectiveness is rapidly waning as new variants arrive. How can intelligent doctors fail to see through the lack of science, the college hypocrisy, and the loss of civil liberties in the name of keeping everyone safe? Having been immersed in the medical profession for 28 years, I can now see that it all started from day one of medical school. We were groomed to conform to key messages. The medical model, big pharma is a solution to disease. Memorize the vaccine schedule and don't question it. Anyone who questions the medical model is a quack. Conform to hospital and government policies to maintain our lavish lifestyle. And support big pharma, since it's a strong contributor to medical education and our lifestyle. We somehow overlook big pharma's lengthy history of civil and criminal breaches. How does medicine's future look? The brave ethical physicians speaking out and absorbing persecution are the very doctors we need to salvage medicine's professional and ethical integrity. Doctors who are silent and supportive of medical tyranny will allow big pharma and politicians to take over the care of their patients. Is that what we went to medicine for? There are many ongoing civil and criminal proceedings. And a day will come for governments, regulators, and physicians to be accountable for the ethical and legal violations committed against the public. For now, we ask the question, is there an ethical doctor in the house? We need you to come forward to our aid, shining a light on the truth.
So there's lots and lots of concerned people speaking out. Will it matter? Does it matter now? Does it move the needle now? Maybe inches, right? We need it to move miles, I think. Who's intimidating the healthcare workers? The authority abusing the power. They're the ones intimidating by threatening workers with unemployment if they don't get an experimental vaccine or experimental gene therapy. I do not denounce hospital protests because we have the charter and you may assemble. Yeah, right? Like, sorry about your luck, but there are things that govern this. The Australian federal government is planning to de-anonymize the internet, to introduce a social credit system to combat online abuses. Police will have access to individuals' social media accounts, which will be linked to people's passports. You've had a little bit too much to think today, sir. Chris Skye is arrested again, right? He was arrested and released. He says the number one reason is they want to get vaccine passports in. Once they get vaccine passports in, they can just, well, anything you do is illegal. They have made illegal the way you live. If you go somewhere that you're not allowed, then you're going to be arrested, and there's not going to be any, there's no due process, right? Sorry, you're a COVID risk, you're a healthcare risk. You're going to this place. There's no due process for that. Ontario, ever wonder why public health throws up partially vaccinated into the unvaccinated group? It's to hide the lymphocytopenia problem. The government ignores data for partially vaccinated because it blows their argument apart. Case rates in dose one groups are many-fold higher than for the unvaccinated. This is why they ignore the data. So, yeah, very interesting. The unvaccinated have less cases at when you reach the 40 and up. 40 and below, unvaccinated have more cases. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of any of this, but what I make of it is there are people, a whole lot of people, not telling us the truth, and they're not telling us the truth in order to get a specific outcome. And I don't know why. I couldn't fathom their reasoning. I couldn't fathom their strategy. And it's unfortunate because when you say, like, I feel like XYZ is happening, people say, well, can you prove it? Well, no, this is not a court of law. No, I haven't collected data. Although that's why I do my videos. I show you why I think what I think. But if you have half of a puzzle completed, right? Say if you have a 1,000-piece puzzle, if you split it into four, and if you have one quarter of that puzzle completed, and it looks like something, but you don't have anything else completed, you could speculate on what the puzzle is going to be, but you might be right, and you might be really, really wrong, right? If it looks like a fair, and it ends up being like a cruise ship, right? You could be really, really wrong. And not know, right? And not understand how wrong you are. So the idea that you should ignore the red flags, the hair standing up on the back of your neck, the sick feeling in your gut. Somebody said, I feel so much shame. I'm thinking, not thinking about getting it, but like we're being cornered. There's no other way out, says the friend. And so I would feel shame if I got it. And I said, well, like that's the wrong emotion. And he said, what's the right emotion? And I said, well, like you have to take everything else into consideration, but I think the right emotion is like that feeling at the top of a roller coaster when the roller coaster starts to go. That's the emotion that you should, like kind of sick. That's the emotion. It's not shame. It's not shame. You didn't do this, right? Like it's not you who decided I'm never drinking again, right? Like you made a mistake. You said something stupid or you got way too drunk and you got sick or something like that. And you said, I'm never drinking again. And then, you know, the next day you're like, well, time for the old vodka, right? That's shame. You could feel shame there, but even then, maybe not, right? You could feel shame if you're not meaningfully moving towards fixing it, maybe. That's shame. What's happening is happening to us. What's happening is being forced on us. Would you feel shame? Would you expect someone else to feel shame if they were violated in a different way, right? If they were sexually violated or if their person were violated in a different way, they were held hostage or kidnapped or something like that. Is that shame? Should they be shamed? Like, should they feel shame because they didn't see it coming? Should they feel shame because they put themselves in that position? Should they feel shame because they didn't fight hard enough? Is it shame or is it like that sick feeling in a roller coaster where you're like, I'm on this thing, this ride's happening and there's no getting off, even if I really want to, right? Shame's not the right emotion, I think. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingVoicely.co. And have a wonderful, wonderful